Right now it is time for Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the Frick and Frack of Nick and Nack. They join us on a Tuesday morning. You can find them all the time. Well, not all the time, but you can find the website there at tqag.com on the web. Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. Well, good morning.
And I know we had something you planned to talk about. I forget what it was because I have no mind. But other than that, I'll start it off with something, and then maybe we can get to what you wanted to get to last week. Winston Churchill. I didn't realize he was a painter.
Yes, he was.
Oh, yeah.
And his painting went from Angelina Jolie, $11.5 million.
Well, it's not unusual. There are actually photographs of him painting in the countryside. I think he did landscapes and stuff. So they're actually not bad if you've ever seen them. I know they come up for auction every now and then, but I think this is one of those, for lack of a better word, genres of painting that it's not so much, I don't think it's so much museum.
It's not what most people would consider. It's not what most people would consider museum quality, but that doesn't detract from the art.
Exactly. Thank you. That's what I was trying to say, but I was fumbling. But there are people who still collect his work because he was rather prolific after he got out of politics. And actually, even before he was out, he did some painting as well. But primarily, most of it came after he was out of office and retired. And there are numerous photographs of him his painting attire, his smock and everything, and there's always the cigar, and there are actually paintings of him painting.
right, but there's also one big thing that you left out of the story, Marshall, and also Greg touched on it, is that yes, he was prolific after he was out of office, but the piece that sold is the only painting that was done by Churchill during World War II. So there's significance there because that has a provenance and a time and space that really makes that painting a little more significant than others. So that's what really makes that stand out. And it's fascinating.
Well, so here's a question for you. With everything that's happening today with 24-hour news cycle, and every time there's a crisis and a politician is charged with getting the job done, and they do something just to relax for a little while, there's always criticism. So can you imagine today what would happen if there was a picture of Winston Churchill just sitting with a cigar in his mouth painting along a bucolic river while all of this was happening with COVID and all of the stuff that's been happening? Can you imagine the fodder that and the tweets that would happen today? See, back then, this was, people didn't think twice about this, but now it's like you can't even light a cigar without causing some sort of a ruckus. So can you imagine the 24-hour news cycle with a photograph of Winston Churchill sitting painting while the world burns?
You're right, because look at what happened after George Bush left office. Now, I'm not going to criticize George Bush. I kind of liked him as a person, didn't like him much as a president, but I like him as a person. But so he started dabbling in painting, and everybody made fun of him. And he's just kept at it, and he's never going to be a great artist or even probably a good painter. But you know what? He has improved, and it relaxes him. I just didn't ever see Winston Churchill having the patience
to do that.
To do that.
You know what, Marshall? I'll tell you that Churchill's previous auction record was in 2014 that sold for $2.7 million. So it's one of those things that it's that cross of celebrity, but also was good. I mean, I'm going to post the photograph of the piece that just sold for $11 million on Facebook. It's good. And I've seen a number of celebrities that, and I've sold a number of celebrity art from, you know, there was Frank Sinatra and then also Red Skelton and doing all the clowns. And there's just a number of different people that were, that go to Palm Springs out in California and relax and retire and paint. And some do really, really well and some, you know, not so well, but it's what they did. And there are people that really appreciate that and do see the value in that. And it's interesting because to see Churchill with these kind of auction records, it's fascinating.
Yeah, Sam Posey, former race car driver who lives here in Sharon and sports commentator, became a huge painter. And his paintings sell all over the country. I guess because I wouldn't have the patience just to sit there and right. paint. And but you think of Winston Churchill's, bulldog attitude. Yes. And I've seen the picture. I saw the picture that sold. And it is a soft, beautiful picture. And it's not something you would expect to come out of the hands of a very gruff, authoritative guy. That's all.
Well, I think a lot of that, this is my own personal opinion, but I think a lot of that has to do with that he had so much on his plate and on his mind and so much in his psyche that he wasn't able to express publicly as a public figure, that when he was by himself, I believe that this is I think this was the impetus for him to escape from all of that. And I think some of his paintings are really, really nice. And, you know, people always make fun of artists who are self-taught or they just paint a particular genre, like some people only paint flowers. And you know, some people only do landscapes, but I believe that once someone jumps into this is their private time, and this is how they escape the rigors of their professional life, if this is what they do as an avocation rather than their vocation.
All right. So now, what were we going to talk about last week that I prevented you guys from getting to? Do you remember?
Yes, museums selling off museums. Art during the COVID thing. Yeah. Well, it actually started before then, yeah. But it was exacerbated by what's happened with the pandemic and a lot of layoffs at museums. And so they've had to tap, a lot of museums have had to tap into their endowment, which, you know, an endowment by its nature is not really meant to be touched. It's meant to increase in value, but it's supposed to also be for the conservation and the collection. But they've had to dip into it in order to some of them to stay afloat. So they've been trying to pay some salaries and keep things going. But the argument, which started way before this the COVID thing, but which just really brought this out really to the fore. It seems like it rears its head about every 10 or 15 years. And now it's starting to come up again because of the need of museums to stay out, to keep their doors open and to maintain their mission. So it's been pretty quiet the past week or so, but there are still things. I think the other shoe is going to drop anytime soon because people need a release, like we were just talking about, as for like Winston Churchill for painting. But people actually need to go into museums. They need some downtime. They need to. This is why I think museums are so important, and why it's so necessary that people experience beauty, and why people have such a strong feeling for museums getting rid of art. Because if you, let's take for example the Sunday in the Park painting, which is at the Chicago Institute, which is, it's one of my favorite paintings, and it was breathtaking to see the first time I ever saw it. And it's still, when you walk in and you see this, it elicits something indescribable. It doesn't matter what your feeling is when you're going in there. As soon as you, for me, when I see this painting, something happens. And that's what art has, that's what art can do for people and what does for people. And I think people are in an uproar if their museums are, which they give a little bit of donations to every, you know, when they annually, when they find out that some of their piece, some of their, the collections are being sold, pieces are being sold off to either buy something else or pay salaries in this time. But, you know, I think ultimately what will happen is there's going to have to be a balance struck between selling or deaccessioning and selling something to buy something or to keep something going, because a lot of people don't realize that a museum doesn't just house a collection. They have multiple collections of different time periods, different artists, different genres, and each of those collections are usually the best of the best. And if you get in a financial bind and you're not managed properly, that's one thing. But if you are managed properly and you get in a bind, I think that what will end up happening is, since they've relaxed these rules, I think they need to really, with a fine-tooth comb, make sure that it's just not a willy-nilly thing that they sell off, that it's something that is way down the food chain in a collection that is going to allow them to buy something that's the best in their collection, in that particular collection. And I think it would, people would stomach it a little easier if it were approached like that. But that's my opinion.
Also, if you approach it by taking a look at, well, let's play the devil's advocate. Okay, we don't sell any of this, and we all go out of business. What's going to happen to all that artwork? I mean, let's go to the other extreme. So well, somebody has to take care of it.
It boils down to money, and it boils down to the haves and the have-nots. And I think what the fear is, when I say the haves and the have-nots, it's the people who have unlimited wealth that can buy these things, that can squirrel them away so the rest of the world can never see them again. That's the major fear, and I understand that. But then there are the have-nots, the people like us who don't have unlimited quantities of income, where we can just afford to go to pay, to go to a museum and pay whatever it is and make a small donation just to see these magnificent pieces of human history. And for that to be not managed properly, I think that's the crux of the matter, is that it might start going down that slippery slope to, oh well, you know, if we can sell this painting for $100 million, wow, let's just sell it.
Yeah, I think the pandemic and the financial crisis it has brought to every level except for the one percenters. Or maybe the top 3%ers, but the crisis has brought to individuals and businesses and nonprofits and museums
institutions
it's gone on for a year, and there's very little organizations, especially museums which are nonprofit basically, can do to subsidize themselves during that time when you have people prevented from going in crowds.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you recall, at the very beginning of the pandemic, when one of the first group of organizations that were really being concerned were the nonprofits, because not just museums, but just nonprofits in general. That's how the majority of nonprofits in this country work, and that is on donations. And when this happened, all of the fundraising virtually stopped dead in its tracks. And it's going to take a long time for that to recuperate. And it's going to be a slow climb, and it's going to be a slow, steady climb. We did our first event this past weekend after a year. It was literally almost to the date.
Well, first live event.
First live event. Our last one was last Valentine's Day, the Heart Ball on Palm Beach. That was it. And the week, 2 weeks after that, everything just stopped completely. And this was our first live event, which was socially distanced. Everyone wore masks. It actually turned out to be a very nice event, and they raised a boatload of money. And I think part of it was because everybody was so excited to get out and do something for the first time. But I think it's going to take a long time to get back to that point where we are comfortable in knowing that we can experience these things, and that we as Americans, if we want to support the arts, we actually have to do it on our own, and we can't expect only the one percenters who would end up having these a lot of times huge collections that go unseen for years and years and years, until after sometimes the owner dies, and then they end up either being exhibited or being sold at auction. So we peons have a stake in this. So all I can say is, just go to your local museum and just give $10 more if you can, and just start from the bottom, and let's work our way back, because I believe that as humans, this is our heritage, and I think it's sad to think that a lot of this stuff would end up being purchased by the wealthiest of the wealthy and squirreled away for us not to see in the future. That's my take on it.
All right. Well, it's a different world, and look at it this way. Whether it's our radio station, whether it's newspapers, whether it's museums, whether it's theaters, we can't exist without your underwriting, your advertising, your support, your donations. The things that you take for granted won't be here. Maybe this is a wake up call that everybody will get and understand.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll speak to you next week.
Hey, sounds good.
Take care, guys.
Spring is in the air.
It is. There's no doubt about it. Right, take care, guys.
Bye.
Tim, Luke, and Greg's Rob, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick Knack with Appraise This here on Robin Hood Radio.